Thank you, Caleb. Before we get into the sermon, would you pray with me? Oh God, we give thanks for this time and space when we can turn our hearts and our minds towards you. Lord, we pray that you would open us up now. Fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we can hear your word to us. The words of love and comfort that you have for us. But God, also open us to the ways that you are pushing us, challenging us to grow and to change so that we can be the people you've created us to be and to be the people that you have called us to be. And we pray all of this in your name, Jesus. Amen. So here's a question that's going to sound kind of random maybe, but roll with me here. So when's the last time that you thought about the 4th of July? The 4th of July. I know for our family, last summer we had a great 4th of July. We were at the beach, had a beautiful beach day. We ate some hot dogs. We watched the fireworks. But then came the 5th of July, and vacation was over. We packed up. We went home. We moved on. I haven't really thought about the 4th of July much since then. Maybe the same is true for you. Here's another random question for you. When's the last time you thought about Halloween? I know for our family, we had a great Halloween this past year. My kids are at prime trick-or-treating age, so we were able to take them around the neighborhood, and I was able to give out some candy from our house. But then came November 1st, and we put away the costumes, and we put away the decorations, and I really haven't thought about Halloween much since then. Maybe the same is true for you. Why is that? Well, it's because holidays come and holidays go, right? We celebrate holidays, and we move on. That's how they work. But what I want to remind you today is that Easter is not like the 4th of July. Easter is not like Halloween. If we celebrate today and move on tomorrow, we will have completely missed the entire point of what Easter is supposed to be all about. Because Easter is not just a holiday, but Easter is an event. Easter is something that happened. It's this event that changed the world forever. And 2,000 years later today, Easter still has the power to change your life forever. And it has the power to change my life forever as well. And so what I want us to do is just, at least for a few minutes here, let's set the holiday aside. Like you have the whole rest of the day to eat your ham and drink your mimosas and FaceTime your mom or whatever it is that you're gonna do later today. But let's set that aside for just a second and let's focus on this event. What does Easter mean for you? And not just today, but what does Easter mean for you tomorrow and the next day, and really for the rest of your life? A few minutes ago, we heard Caleb read to us from John chapter 20. This is John's account, John's version of this Easter event. Some of you may remember this, but John was this fisherman, and he lived back in the first century, and it just so happened that his paths crossed with Jesus, and John ended up becoming one of the very first followers of Jesus. And John was actually there on that first Easter morning. In this passage, he's telling us what happened, and as he begins his Easter story, John includes this little detail that would be so easy for us to overlook. But if we're gonna understand what Easter means for us right now, today, we cannot overlook this little detail. Let me show you what I'm talking about here. This is how John starts out. Early in the morning of the first day of the week, while it was still, what? Dark. While it was still dark. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, that stands out. Because when I think about Easter, I think about things that are bright, right? I think about this bright spring sunshine that we've got going on today. I think about the bright flowers that we see blooming this time of year. I think about the bright pastel outfits that so many of you are wearing, and you look really good today. I wish you could see yourselves from up here. When I think Easter, I think bright, bright, bright. But John is telling us, whoa, hang on now. The original Easter, the event of Easter did not happen when it was bright. It did not happen when it was sunny, but Easter happened while it was still dark. Now, why does that matter? Well, it matters because John is trying to help us to find ourselves in this Easter story. You see, one thing that John knows about you and one thing that John knows about me is that all of us go through times in our lives when we find ourselves in the dark. And my guess would be that if we're honest, many of us would say, even though we got these bright, happy pastel outfits on today, many of us are journeying through some darkness ourselves right now, right? For some of us, it could be the darkness of an addiction that we're wrestling with, that we drink too much, or we shop too much, or we keep looking at websites that we know we shouldn't look at, and we know it's bad for us, and we know we should stop, but we can't stop, and we've got this guilt, and we've got this shame, where we're facing this darkness. For some of us, it could be the darkness of a divorce that we're going through, where our marriage is crumbling. It could be the darkness of mental health struggles, depression or anxiety. It could be the darkness of financial strain. The bills are piling up. We got this debt that we don't know how we're ever gonna pay off. It could be the darkness of family problems. We've got a child and we're trying to help them and they're struggling and we don't know what to do. It could be some kind of spiritual darkness that, you know, we come to church on Easter like this and maybe we want to believe all of this God stuff is true. Maybe we used to believe it, but we've just been through too much. We've had too much pain, too much struggle. Maybe we've been hurt by the church too many times to really believe that this could be true. I don't know what the darkness might look like in your life. But one thing all of us have in common, despite all of our differences, and I mean, it's amazing. If you look around this room today, you see people of different genders, different ethnicities. You see people of different sexual orientations, different political leanings. But one thing all of us have in common is that in one way or another, all of us face some kind of darkness. And so that's why John wants to tell us right up front, right at the beginning of this Easter story, hey, remember, Easter didn't happen when it was sunny and bright. Easter happened while it was still dark. And I think if John was today, he would say to us, hey, if you've got some kind of darkness in your life, I can relate to that. I've been there. In fact, all of Jesus' very first disciples were there when this Easter story began. Do you remember why? 3 years before Easter, all of Jesus' followers, they left everything to go and follow Jesus. They left behind their homes. They left behind their businesses. They left behind their jobs. They left behind their families. That was not easy, but it was amazing because as they followed Jesus, they had this like front row seat to see Jesus doing all these incredible things. Jesus would seek out the hungry and feed them. Jesus would seek out the sick and he would heal them. Jesus would welcome the outcast, people that nobody else would welcome. They got to see Jesus doing these amazing miracles, walking on water, calming the storms. They got to see Jesus raising people even from the dead. And maybe more than anything, they got to see Jesus embodying this kind of unconditional love, this kind of love that they had never seen before, that they had certainly never felt before. And this whole time they're following Jesus, you know what's happening? Their faith is growing, growing, growing. Their hope is growing, growing, growing because they become convinced that Jesus really is who he says he is. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. He is God's answer to all of the darkness in this world. That's what they trusted in. That's what they believed. They had given their life to this. But then do you remember what happened? Suddenly, seemingly out of nowhere, Jesus gets arrested. Nobody saw that coming. Shortly thereafter, Jesus gets beaten within an inch of his life. Nobody saw that coming. Shortly thereafter, Jesus gets nailed to a cross. And then Jesus takes this one last breath, this last gasp, and then Jesus dies. And we have to understand that when Jesus died, the disciples thought that it was over. Over, over. When Jesus died, the disciples' faith died with him. Their hope died with him because they thought, If he was really who he said he was, if he was really the Son of God, he wouldn't have died. If he was the Savior of the world, he wouldn't have died. If he was God's answer to all the darkness in this world, then how come the darkness had just won? As soon as Jesus died, the disciples were plunged into the deepest, deepest kinds of darkness. And what John is telling us here is, friends, you have to understand that. That is where the Easter story begins. Early in the morning of the first day of the week, while it was still dark, what happened? John says, well, Mary Magdalene. Now, this is not Mary, the mother of Jesus, different Mary. This is one of Jesus' female followers. Mary Magdalene, she gets up early, and John says she came to the tomb. Why does she come to the tomb? Did she go to the tomb to see if Jesus had been raised? No, nobody was expecting Jesus to be raised. They didn't have modern science like we do today, but you don't need modern science to know that dead people don't come back to life. That's not why she went to the tomb. She went to the tomb with spices. She was going to anoint Jesus' body. In that culture, that was part of the burial custom, part of the burial ritual. It was a way of saying your final goodbyes to somebody that you had loved. So she has her spices. She goes to the tomb, but she sees that the stone has been taken away from the tomb. She looks inside, and she sees the body is not there. Now, Mary is a logical person, just like you're a logical person. So she doesn't assume that Jesus is raised. She assumes somebody must have come and stolen the body. It must have been Roman soldiers. It must have been grave robbers or something like that. And so she takes off. She goes back to the other disciples to tell them what's going on. So then she comes back to the tomb with Peter and John. They want to check it out for themselves. They look inside. They see there's no body. They don't really know what's going on. They kind of scratch their heads and they wander off. And then we get this powerful scene where we have Mary standing by the tomb. And remember, it's still dark. And in this moment, Mary just, she's overwhelmed. She just breaks down, John tells us. She starts weeping. And I don't know if you caught this when Caleb was reading it, but John actually repeats this four times. Mary was weeping, 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 weeping. I wonder if you've ever been in a place of darkness in your life where you didn't have anywhere else to turn and you just found yourself weeping, 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 weeping. That's where Mary was. But as John continues to tell us this Easter story, what he emphasizes is that it was right there in that moment of the deepest, deepest darkness, that's when everything began to change. Because you see, Mary was standing there by the tomb, and she thought that she was all alone. Maybe some of you are in a place of darkness today, and you think that you are all alone. But suddenly Mary realized that there was actually someone else there. And at first she didn't know who it was. But then she hears this voice. And at first she didn't recognize the voice, but then the voice calls her by name. Jesus. Jesus said to her, Mary, Mary, Mary. And in that moment, Mary knew. She couldn't explain it. How could anybody explain this? She couldn't say how. How could anybody say how? But she knew that somehow, some way, Jesus was no longer dead, but Jesus was alive. Later that day, in much the same way, Jesus ends up appearing to all of the other disciples. And then for a period of about 40 days, Scripture tells us Jesus just keeps on showing up. He just keeps on showing up over and over and over again. In fact, the Apostle Paul tells us that the risen Jesus ended up appearing to over 500 people. Now, these folks are logical. These folks are rational, just like you and me. So at first, they didn't believe it. But then they spent time with Jesus, and they talked with Jesus, and they ate with Jesus. And many of them, they touched Jesus' body. And at a certain point, they just couldn't not believe it. Just like Mary, they couldn't explain how. Who can explain how? But somehow, some way, they knew that Jesus was no longer dead, but Jesus was alive. And do you know what all those disciples did After that, they devoted the rest of their lives, people like John, people like Mary, they devoted the rest of their lives to telling this exact story to as many people as they possibly could. And why did they do that? It wasn't just so that people like you and people like me would hear this story and know that this event happens. That they shared this story with everybody they could because they wanted all of us to understand what this means. If Jesus is raised from the dead, that means that he is who he says he is after all. It means that he is the Son of God. It means that he is the Savior of the world. It means that he is God's answer to all of the darkness. Think about it, on the cross, this crazy, broken, backwards world threw all the darkness it had at Jesus. All the sin, all the suffering, all the evil, all the death. And it looked for a time like the darkness had won. Just like in your life, just like in my life, it can look for a time like the darkness has won. But on Easter, Jesus shows us that he overcame all of that. On Easter, Jesus shows us that he is stronger than all of that. Now, that may sound broad, that may sound theological, so let me just make this personal for you for a minute. What does Easter mean for you? It means that your darkness may be strong, but Jesus is stronger. Hear me. Your addiction may be strong, but Jesus is stronger. The divorce you're going through may be strong, but Jesus is stronger. The infertility you're struggling with may be strong, but Jesus is stronger. The anxiety, the depression, the bills, the debts, the pain, the struggle, the family problems, whatever you're facing, it may be strong darkness, but Jesus is stronger. Now, I want to be clear that the promise of Easter is not that you give your life to Jesus and suddenly all the darkness goes away. No, we will have to face darkness, right? But the promise of Easter is that no matter what, you will never, ever have to face the darkness alone, because Jesus is with you and Jesus is stronger. And that means that one way or another, Jesus will lead you through. And so my prayer for you today is that this Easter would not just be a holiday. Don't just celebrate today and move on tomorrow, but I pray that just like Mary in this story, that you would hear Jesus calling you by name, because I believe Jesus is calling you by name. And if you hear his voice today, I pray that you wouldn't shrug that off, that you wouldn't take that lightly, but that maybe for the first time, or maybe for the millionth time, that you would respond, that you would say yes to Jesus, yes to following him, yes to giving your life to him, yes to being a part of his church. I pray that you would say yes to a new identity today, and a new purpose, and a new life in him. Say yes to Jesus, because in the most powerful way you can imagine on Easter, Jesus is saying yes to you. That the promise of Easter is that no matter what darkness you face, Jesus is stronger, and he will lead you through. Let me pray for us. Oh, gracious and loving God, we face a lot of darkness in our world today. There are so many things that weigh us down. There are so many voices in our heads that tell us that we're not worthy, that we'll never be good enough, that we can't change. And so we're so grateful for this good news of Easter that cuts through all of that and reminds us who you are and how powerful you are and how good you are and how loving you are. Lord, where there are places of doubt within us, we pray that you would fill us with faith. Where there are places of discouragement, God, give us courage. God, we're hearing your voice, but we're not sure if we can respond, God, give us the faith to take that next step with you, Lord. God, we thank you for this church family that journeys with us through the ups and the downs of our lives with you. We thank you for the support that we can share here in this community. We ask your blessing on each and every one of us today, Lord. Give us the light that we need in our darkness to keep taking our next steps with you, and give us the trust that no matter what, you will lead us through. In your name, Jesus, amen.